Carol and I were sitting there during the service, and there was a box elder bug coming across the back of the pew. And I said, "You know what that reminds me of?" And she said, "Yeah, Jim's dad was our pastor at Bethany." And the pulpit had this archway over it. And one Sunday he was trying to preach, and everybody was snickering and laughing and looking up, and there was a mouse running across the top of that thing. I couldn't help but think about that. But Jim's dad was a different kind of preacher. He started me out. We went out to the lake, in fact. I may have told this before, but Brother Parsons took me out to the lake for a ministry out there. They had ministries going on out there at the time. That was first they first started out there. So he was having me to preach that Sunday out at the lake, and of course I had my Bible, and I had laid it down on the picnic table, and I was walking around nervous like, and I didn't notice, but he had found this stogie laying on the ground. He picked it up and he put it in my Bible. And so when I opened up my Bible, this cigar fell out on the table. And did he laugh? Yes. It was a lot of fun. You know, I thought maybe I would have something kind of light to start out with, because it may get a little heavy in the end of the sermon. Have any of you been to the Holy Land? Did you see on that media column about this couple that had gone over to the Holy Lands, and the guy's mother-in-law went with him, and they were over there visiting, and she got sick and died while over there. And after all the red tape, the guy finally got through to his funeral director, who wanted to know what the cost would be to come and get her and take her back home to bury her. And so he got back with the guy and said, "Well, it is about $5,000 to transfer the body back and have the service and everything, but," said, "for just a few $100s you could actually bury her there in the Holy Lands." And so he said, "Well, let me think about that for a while." And a couple of days later, the funeral director called and said, "Have you made up your mind?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Let's take her back home." And he said, "Yeah, but that's $5,000. And he said, "Yeah, but I heard that they had buried somebody here some time ago, and after 3 days he come back to life, and I didn't want to take the chance." Well, I remember what media that was over. That my son told me that. Yeah, he's always trying to get me in trouble. Yeah, I'm going to be coming out of Acts chapter 1 and 2 this morning. But, you know, I get a great deal of enjoyment of reading the scriptures and trying to put myself there at that place at that time. And the disciples, the apostles and the disciples and what was of the family of God at that time, were gathered in this one room, really afraid to go out and to the temple worship, because of they just lost their leader, that left them with just a little bit of anxiety about what they were going to do with the rest of their ministry. But they also remembered that Jesus, before he was crucified, told them that they need to go to Jerusalem and wait there for a while, and they were to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure what all that meant to them at that time. I know on several other occasions Jesus had sent them out to witness to these different communities, gave them the power to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to do all these kinds of things. And I know when they came back, the 70, when they came back, they were so excited because of what was happening. They seen all these good stuff happening. But now they're waiting here in this room. I don't know how long the wait was. It doesn't really say. But they're waiting in this upper room together, about 120 of them, the Bible says, for some promise that was given, that, and Luke records it, it's that God had promised them a gift, and that gift was the Holy Spirit. And upon receiving that gift, they would be empowered in their witnessing. I probably shouldn't say some of the things I'm going to say this morning. It makes me sound kind of judgmental. But, you know, in this age that we're living, this high-tech, artificial intelligence, boy, I wish I had a little bit of that. And it seems like that with all this modern technology and all this stuff that's available to us now, that somewhere along the line in the history and the life of the modern day church, we've somehow put God's promise of this Holy Spirit back on the shelf somewhere. I mean, we still talk about him. We sing about him. But do we experience him? I shared one time, some time ago, that somewhere along the line we have forgotten how to communicate with the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. We don't speak his language anymore. And we find our churches going adrift. I mean, we should have churches full. When we read about the account, when after these 120 people receive the Holy Spirit, they go out in their around the temple area around Jerusalem, and they started preaching the gospel to all these different nationalities with a gift of the Holy Spirit that was given for the very purpose of doing that. And 3,000 people were added to the church in that first week or so. Can you imagine that? And that was the start of something that God was initiating into the life of the church. There needed to be something to move the church forward. Well, a lot went on in Jerusalem and in surrounding areas because of this powerful move of God's Spirit upon the church. And hundreds and even thousands of people were joining this group of people. Their lives were being changed. They were hearing for the first time, a lot of them, the fact that Jesus was the Christ, that he died for them. And in believing in him, they had eternal life. And people were swarming to that message. They wanted to hear that message. And they were being saved. But the rest of the promise that Luke wrote that God was giving was that their witness would be empowered not only there in Jerusalem, not only in Judea and Samaria, but in the whole world. But the problem was they kept hanging out right there in the homeland. Just kept hanging out there where they were accustomed to their customs. And it took a king to bring accusations, I guess, threats against the Christian people. And finally, believers started moving out of their comfort zones and going out into the rest of the world. And this Christian population thing began to explode, and people were being saved around the world. And this was the purpose of God giving us the Holy Spirit. Now, we can have church without Him. You know, we can live our daily lives without Him. But if we're going to serve Him, we've got to have Him. You know what I'm saying? I preached this sermon not too long ago, and I kind of gave the experience that I had when I received the Holy Spirit, that spiritual baptism that it speaks of here. And I probably heard Brother Parsons preaching on it. I don't know who else it would have been. But talking about receiving this spiritual baptism and being empowered to be a witness, and I wanted to be a witness. And I went forward and I sought God's baptism, the Holy Spirit's baptism, and I'm telling you the truth, I didn't feel anything. There wasn't any fireball coming or blowing past my head or roaring, rushing wind or anything like that going on around me. But I prayed for it. And Brother Parsons said, yeah, but it's like our relationship with Jesus, faith. You don't know if you've got it unless you try it. I can remember, we lived in the country then, over by Lovington. And I got in my car and or pickup, whatever it was, and I took off down the road, and I came to this first house, and I as I pulled in the driveway, I'm telling you the truth, I prayed, I hope they're not home. You know. And I went up to the door and I knocked and doggone it, there they were. But all of a sudden I realized that here I am, I'm talking to them about the church, about God, you know, and I said, I began to realize that this was a God thing. It wasn't my character, because I'm telling you, most of my life before I became a preacher, I was more introverted. I didn't go out, wasn't very outgoing. But I went down to the next house. And I began to find different people to witness to, and they made me Sunday school superintendent. Wow. And I used to come into Bethany every Saturday and put out the Sunday school stuff. And there was this couple, and I don't know how I ever got acquainted with them, but I would go by their house every Saturday, and I would talk to them about the Lord, about the church. And he had a recliner. It was right up against the wall, and his television was right straight in front of him. And he sat in that chair, and he smoked that cigar, never once said a word to me, never once looked over at me while I talked to his wife about all this stuff. And the Saturday before Easter Sunday, while I was there visiting them, he turned around and said, "How do you know that all this stuff you're saying is true?" And listen, I'm just a year or two old in Christ. I had very little Bible understanding, but all of a sudden, these scriptures started coming out of my mouth. And that Sunday, this couple came to church and went forward to the altar to pray for Jesus coming to their lives. I shared that in this church, and I got a call a couple days later, and this woman said, "It's real." I said, "You mean I didn't lie to you?" "No," she said. I started out, and I felt kind of afraid. I went to this first house, and I knocked on the door, and I began to witness to that person, and said I felt God's presence. So I said I went to 5 people that day because I was so full of God's love and His presence, and that. And I guess I'm trying to say today is that our churches need that. Not the fake stuff. Not the phony stuff. But we need the real presence of God's Spirit in us. The 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, called the love chapter, it talks about all these different gifts that were given, and after each one was named, it said, "But without love, they're useless." Every gift that's mentioned of the Holy Spirit, at the end of it, he says, "Without love, it's useless." And God is, if God is filling us, it's just not with hot air. He's filling us with love. That's the only way that we can love others, is because He's filling us with love. And what our churches need today, we need to love one another in our church, but we need to love those outside our church, you know? Not just the good looking, not just the rich, not just the little short ones, but God is able to give us a genuine love for lost people. Maybe my son, I'm not sure. I said, I think Walmart has become my mission field. And I don't go to Walmart very often, but when I go in there, I usually find someone to say something to. And I was in there looking for humidifiers the other day, and I couldn't find them, and I was right there by the pharmacy, and I went up to the pharmacy window, and it said drop-off area or something like that. And I went up to the young lady, and I said, "This window said it's for dropouts." I said, "Is that me?" And we got to talking a little bit, and I said, "I'm looking for humidifiers." I said, are you acquainted with the stuff out here? Can you tell me about where I can find one? And she said, "I'll do better. I'll take you and show you where they're at." A beautiful young lady, just as sweet as she could be. And so she came out, and we walked around, and she took me to different places. So I said, "Do you go to church anywhere?" She said, "Well, I used to." And so I said to her, I said, "You know, your relationship with God is the most valuable thing you'll ever have. It's the most precious thing you'll ever have." And I began to talk to her about what it meant to be saved, and she said, "Well, I used to go to that church over there." And I said, "Wouldn't you like to go back to church?" And she kind of said, "Well," I said, "Well, don't you think your relationship with God is important enough?" And she says, "I'm going." She said, "I'm going to tell Mr. Newman told me to come." But it not only is it important for us to witness, but I'm telling you what, it's rewarding when you're able to see someone respond in a positive way. When you stop just long enough to talk to somebody, doesn't matter who, doesn't matter where. You know, I tell people, and I've done it before, you go to a doctor's office, you know, you go to some of these places where you're sitting there alongside, well, you never sit next to anybody when you go to the doctor. You always, you know, there's always a chair or two between you. Well, try going in and sitting next to somebody sometime. Huh? And sit next to them and start a conversation with them. You know, my conversation starter is always, where do you go to church? You know, that's easy. You know, I don't even stutter when I say it. And it's an easy way to start a conversation. But the thing of it is, the church needs to get back to basic principles, and God has poured out His Spirit in the beginning, and the Scripture says it's for every generation after that one. It's for this generation. His spiritual baptism is for us. And, you know, I don't have a formula for how to receive other than to ask. To have this desire to serve Jesus and to ask Him for the empowerment, for the power to be that kind of witness that honors Jesus, the name of Jesus. To say, Father, fill me with Your Spirit. Cover me with Your Spirit, O Lord. Give me that love that allows me to share my faith with others. Don't you see? I think some of you will really seek that spiritual experience. And you'll be the ones that will be rewarded. You'll be the ones that find out it feels good to serve God this way. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm old enough, I ought to be able to, I ought to know how to preach, you know, but I'm still just learning. But the one thing I'm learning probably more than anything is my dependence upon God's Spirit in my life. Every day I commune with God through His Holy Spirit every day. I want to talk His language. I want to understand what He's saying to me. And it doesn't come by accident. It comes by faith and obedience. How many of you this morning, in an act of obedience and faith, would ask God to send His Holy Spirit to empower you to become a witness? How many of you would do that this morning? Jesus told them to wait there in Jerusalem, didn't say how long, but I want you just to wait for a few moments and consider what I've been saying this morning. I'm not going to ask you to make a decision, though, because next Sunday I want to talk to you some more about this same person, this Holy Spirit. Father, as we close our service here this morning, with our hearts being opened up to You, Lord, we want to become more effective in our witness in this world. This world is lost, and we see what's happening in our world, in our churches, in our communities, in our families. We see. And Lord, we need your Spirit, we need Your empowerment to somehow fight against this enemy that is a liar and a deceiver and a destroyer, that we may win some for Jesus' sake. Amen.